أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Huzur says that as you know that for last few days Allah Almighty enabled me to visit three countries of West Africa. Some plans for this tour, or I should say that the main programs, meetings, etc. All the eyes who watch MTA, they have seen that and they have enjoyed that. And the rain of the blessings of Allah Almighty, which descends upon the community of the promised Messiah, Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, according to the promises given to him, they were able to witness that and watch that. Many things are already being covered in the reports. Some of the reports have been published and some will be published soon. But but to the majority of the people, because many people are unable to see Al-Fazl and read it. So, in any way, this is always the desire of all members of the Jamaat that I should relate some of the details of the tour. And I have already received some faxes about that. So, therefore, very briefly, I am going to relate some of the details of these tours, and I will mention those points which sometime are not captured by the eye of the camera, or which are related with the feelings and passions, although it cannot be described fully in full. By the grace of Allah, Huzur says that with reference to the Khilafat centenary, this was the first tour. And the countries I visited, the Ahmadis, men and women in those countries, so much so that even the children, they became very emotional, and they prepared for these meetings in a very emotional way. And in connection with the preparation, when I saw their sentiments, I was rather surprised. They were sacrificing quite a lot. They were very loving and with devotion and dedication and always advancing in good ways and giving preference to their religion over the worldly things. And this sort of people have been blessed to the community of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Their nationalities are different, colors of face are different, their culture and ways of life are different, but for the sake of Allah, they have the immense love for the Khalifa of the promised Messiah that one is really overwhelmed. And this has to be that way, because this was the promise given to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. The promise was given by Allah Almighty, who is our Lord, who is the Lord of God of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and who is the God of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He is always true in his promises. This true and omnipotent God, and the one who always fulfills his promises, he promised this thing to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, that I will cause thy message to reach the corners of the earth with respect and honor, and your name will be reaching to the end, and your love will be instilled in the hearts of people. And every day, by the grace of Allah, we see the fulfillment of this great promise every day in a glorious way. And the whole world is witness to the fact that during this tour of Africa, we saw the fulfillment of this promise in a very glorious way. There is nothing hidden about that, no exaggeration about that. The eye of the camera, it has already shown on the screen of the television and showed it so vividly and so clearly that the people in Africa, those who always have the name of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam with extreme love in their hearts, they, in their own particular way and style, when they raise the slogan of Ghulam Ahmad ki jai, long live Ghulam Ahmad, then this fulfillment of this promise is witnessed in a very unique and particular way. This was the promise that I will raise your mention, your name. And when in so many new slogans, when this thing is raised in the horizon, in the skies, then those hearts which are filled with the light of the faith and devoted followers of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, when they raise those and also the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his master and our master, and when out of this love, when they are raising these slogans, actually the whole love is flowing from their heart. Is there anything who can put such a love in their hearts? Impossible. Can this beauty in their faces, in their eyes, and the love which is so evident there, can it be the result of any worldly promises or gains? It is said that if you tempt a poor person, then he would do like that. But this temptation, it cannot actually create this type of love. These poor people, outwardly, they don't have any worldly wealth. But they are extremely rich so far as the wealth of faith is concerned. Whatever temptation may be given to them, but no one can snatch the love of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam from their hearts. But the fact is that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam and his master, because of the love, because of that love, the love that they have for Khilafat Ahmadiyya, the greatest love in the whole world cannot even be a parallel to this one or equal to that one. So this is our Lord, our God, who has in the hearts of the Ahmadis, he has instilled the love of Khilafat in the hearts of Ahmadis. And the Ahmadis are filled with this love from top to bottom. I feel that the African brothers, they are becoming glorious example of this love. And may Allah continue to further spread and pass on this love to other people. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says that those people who follow the prophets of Allah, they are always poor and very modest type of people. The big people, those highly placed people, they are generally deprived of that. They have different thoughts of their own. And they have different views and thoughts crossing their minds. And they sometime consider themselves not in need of those things because of their greatness and the hidden pride and their majesty which they think. Sometime they even take it a matter of disgrace to sit with these people, while the poor people, the devout people, the beloveds of Allah Almighty, they have these qualities in them. And I see that hundreds upon hundreds of people in our community are such that those even have enough clothing to cover their bodies, and they don't have even the proper sheet to wrap their body. But because of their immense love and devotion, and when we look at that, one is really surprised to look at their love, which becomes evident from them. And the signs of that love are visible in their faces as well. They are so strong in their faith, and they are so true in their truth, and they are so steadfast in their faith, and so faithful, that if these people who are rich people and worldly people, those who are very fond of these joys of the life, and they would be able to sacrifice all these things when these people come to know of that real love, the pure love. So Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Almighty gave him such lovers, such people who extremely love him according to his promise. And Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned about these people. And moreover, Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, in connection with the Khilafat, has mentioned that this promise is about you, is related to you. So therefore, these people who came later on, they were given the love of Khilafat because of the love of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And these bright hearts of African people is an example of that. Now I relate some of the incidents very briefly. The very first tour was to Ghana. First I went there. The reception at the airport you have seen, because it was night time, the excitement of the Ahmadis might have been shown by the camera, but the love in their eyes could only be seen by those people who were present at that time. At the Accra, at Accra, which is the capital, and our headquarters is also there. That is the place where I went first. And the Jalsa site was about 30 to 40 miles away in a place. It was going to take place there. So therefore, next day we went to that. That is called Baghi Ahmad, the Garden of Ahmad. And as I have already told, that it's a great blessing of Allah Almighty and His grace that very suitable 460-acre of land, exactly located close to the main highway, has been given to the community. When I arrived there, then a majority of the people had already reached there, and it was a full city, well populated there, well established there. And the Ghana Jamaat has developed that area very much, and they have some roads and walkways are there, and all the shrubs of the area have been cleared off, and it was made very beautiful. The land is very fertile in those areas, and with a slight rain there is greenery everywhere, just like in Europe. This new land which has been acquired, which has been purchased, it was a big poultry farm previously. There were some sheds. Sheds were already there. Construction was there. And they cleared it off. And they put the new floor and put the windows. And they have converted that into a residential barrack. And if there was a shortage of accommodation, nobody complained about that. Because Ahmadis, they came there in large number. There were many who were very well off, and business men, school teachers, and those other workers. When they didn't get enough accommodation, then they simply slept over a mat outside in open. They are very sacrificing people. And somebody told me that when they asked a couple of such people, then they replied that we came here to listen to the Jalsa. In the presence of the Khalifa Waqt, this meeting, Jalsa, is going to take place. So if we do not get the comfort, then what difference does it make? And we are grateful to Allah Almighty that He enabled us to attend this Jalsa. It was a new place because of the large number as well. There was some shortcomings in certain arrangements, but it was nobody at all ever made any complaint about that. The attendance was more than 100,000 people, and centrally, it was the first time that they started the langar. The cooking arrangement was made collectively for the first time. Normally, the procedure is that every region is responsible to make the arrangement for the people coming from over there, and they are responsible for that. They should take care of the whole arrangement. But this year, from outside, from other countries, about 5,000 people were there. And also they arranged for a central cooking arrangement. Langar was there. But I came to know that the people who came from Burkina Faso, they didn't get food for some time. Nearly 3,000 people came from Burkina Faso. This is a neighboring country of Ghana. 300 cyclists, they, Khuddam came, covering 1,600 kilometers on bicycles. The missionary who was there, I told him that those who accompanied these people, to apologize to these people who didn't get the food. When he apologized, conveyed this message, then the reply of those people was that the purpose for which we have come, that we have achieved. We don't mind about the food. We have it every day. But the food that we are getting today and at this time, we don't get this on other days. The Jamaat in Burkina Faso is not very old. The majority of these people, they have been converted to the community during the last 10-15 years. And they are, by the grace of Allah, increasing in their devotion and love for the Jamaat very rapidly. They are so poor that they came only in one pair of clothes. As Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, that some of my followers, they do not have enough to cover their body. And they saved money for it, because it's a Jalsa of the Khilafat Jubilee in the presence of the Khalifa of the time. So we have to attend this one in any way, in any case. So because of this love and determination, this they came, and who can, apart from Allah, who can create this love in their hearts? Those Khuddam cyclists who came, the devotion of these people, you can imagine about their devotion from this incident, that these people stopping on their way in several places, continuously they cycled for 7 days and reached the destination. There were seven people, 50 to 60 years age group, and there was two children of 13 or 14 years old. When Amir Sahib Burkina Faso asked these children that you are very young and it's difficult long journey, so you can't do it, they became very saddened, and they ran after the Qaid that we have to go anyway, please allow us. And they said that we have come from our region, so we don't want to go without going for this journey. So finally they were permitted, and they covered the whole distance happily and with joy. Abdul Rahman Sahib, Sadr Khuddam Al-Ahmadiyya, who is in Burkina Faso, he said, when somebody asked him, that the early Ahmadis, they sacrificed for the sake of Islam. So we also wanted that our Khuddam should also be ready for every type of sacrifice. And it was our desire that in relation to Khilafat Jubilee, they should be doing something which could be able to describe our devotion and love for Khilafat. And we could be able to tell the Khalifa of the time that we are ready for every type of sacrifice, and we are ready to accept every challenge. So therefore, we opted for this one, and we participated in Jalsa Ghana, coming on bicycles, and 1,435 Khuddam presented, and because of some management considerations, only 300 were selected. So these cyclists, they were not, they didn't come on new bicycles, but very, very old bicycles, rusty, having no brakes sometime, or the tires were old, but they had this devotion and this sentiment in their heart, and that is always there in their hearts for the sake of Khilafat Ahmadiyya, that for the permanent Khilafat, the prophecy of which, the prophecy was made by the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The media also covered it, and they described it in this way, that media, what they said, one TV reporter asked them, the cyclist, when they were about to start the journey, that the cycles are in very poor condition, how would you be able to cover the whole journey? So then the representative, Jamaat representative told them that although the cycles are in poor condition, but we have the faith and determination that we are, in the name of Khilafat, as a part of our great expression of gratitude, we are going to undertake this journey. So when the national radio relayed this news, that they said that for the sake of Allah, the journey of the cyclists to Accra, is, although the cycles are very in poor condition, but their determination is very strong. And they showed also the condition of the poor condition of the cycles, and also asked certain questions from Khuddam. One Khadim replied that that I am going to meet my Khalifa. And the other one said that this is 100 year celebration of Khilafat Jubilee, and the Khalifa is coming to attend that, so I am going to join in this celebration. So these were the sentiments of those people. And these Ahmadis, they are not born Ahmadis. They are not from the progeny of the companions of the Prophet. But they are thousands of miles away. They are living there. They are living in such areas where unmetalled road are there. And they are living in such places where the water and electricity is not available. And now in some places this facility is available so that they can have link through MTA. In some places, because of poverty, they are extremely in great distress. But because they are the member of the greatest lover of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Promised Messiah Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, so the situation is that when it is a question of religion, that their determination is just like as strong as the metal. May Allah increase their devotion and their love. And one person, Isa Sema from Burkina Faso, he mentioned that I did my bath in 2005, and today I have come to know, only 3 years old in Ahmadiyyat he is, and now I have discovered what I am and how fortunate I am and what I have got. I have realized it today, and I cannot express my joy in words. And the love of some of the people was very clear through the tears flowing down from their eyes. And some people, those who criticize that, raise this question that what Hazrat Mirza Sahib has given to these people, they should see these people. That the Lord of Allah of the Promised Messiah, Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has brought about a revolution in the hearts of these people. They have been given such a deep love for the Khalifatul Masih, for which words are not, I don't find adequate words to express that one. There was 22 people came from the Gambia, and they were unable to travel by air, so they came by bus, and they traveled through a big journey, three big countries they traveled, and the total journey was 7,000 miles which they covered, and they were extremely tired because of that long journey, because the roads are not so good, the buses are not so comfortable, and those who have traveled there, they know it very well. But when these people, they came to Jalsaga, Then instead of finding any place of rest, they immediately went to the place where the prayer was going to be offered. And by looking at their face, there was no sign whatsoever on any face that these are the devoted servants of the Messiah of the time, that they have covered such a long distance and they are feeling tired at all. The detailed reports will be mentioned in Al-Fazl later on. Those who can possibly read that, they should read it. From Ivory Coast as well, more than 1,000 people, after a very long and tiring journey, they also arrived in Accra, in Ghana. But their devotion and sacrifice and love for the Jamaat, there was no sign of any tiredness or any exhaustion in their faces to be seen there. Allah Almighty enabled some of the local Ahmadis that paid for the expenses of some poor Ahmadis for this journey. Those who were very yearning to come to this Jalsa, and their condition was just like this, that some people were refused because they did not have enough money, then the tears were falling down on their cheeks. And who is there to compete with this such a devotion of these people? Then, because of their passion and desire to attend this Khilafat Jubilee meeting, what other methods did they adopt and chose? There is some mention of that which I am going to say. In one, the Jamaat in one region in Ivory Coast, Huzur is mentioning that they determined that as the 100 years of Khilafat are complete, therefore there should be at least 100 people from our village who should be attending this Jalsa. These are very poor people, as I am told. But because of their determination, that was higher than the mountains. And for 6 months they prepared the crops for this very purpose. And then we are going to spend that money to bear the cost of the transportation. And Allah Almighty blessed them. And Allah Almighty always looks with the love and affection. And Allah Almighty blessed the crops. And it was so much blessed that not only the travel expenses were covered, but instead of 100 people, 103 people were able to undertake the journey. And from one village of Ivory Coast, 57 people, they also attended this historic Jalsa. Out of them, 23 were ladies who borrowed money to cover the cost of their expenses. And they said that we have this full conviction from the mercy of Allah Almighty that because of that, Allah Almighty is going to bless their crops and fields. And ultimately, we will be able to pay back these loans that we have obtained. And Allah Almighty will look after our needs. And two girls and from one region, the age was only 12 or 13 years, they paid for the expenses of the transport from their own pocket. That since we have heard the news of the Khalifa coming to Ghana, since that day we have been working in the field because we are so poor that we do not have enough money, but we wanted that we should be able to meet him. And this is what we have earned, so now you get this deposit from us to cover the expenses of the travel. One lady from Ivory Coast, Ibba his name, he came to attend the Jalsa. She was very seriously ill. She is suffering from tuberculosis. His brother and husband told that when she started from her village to take part in this Jalsa, then he told his family members that in spite of my sickness, I am going to attend this Jubilee Jalsa and I feel that I may not be able to come back. So therefore, please forgive my trespasses and my mistakes, and because I feel that I may not be able to come back. She was very seriously ill. And she was extremely tired as well because of the journey. But she undertook this journey, such a long journey in very hot climate. And then she met me, and she died there, and I offered her janaza, and she was buried there. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. So these are some examples of the love and devotion of the members of the Jamaat, men, women and children. The people of those groups who came from Ghana, which I have related earlier on, and I have mentioned, I have not even mentioned maybe 100th or even more than that. And moreover, it's very difficult to express the feelings and the sentiments of the people. And the people of Ghana must be waiting that they have not been mentioned so far while it was our Jalsa. I have already mentioned about Ghana in so many speeches that the love that they have for Khilafat, for the institution of Khilafat, and the devotion and love for the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, that they have, that is becoming an example. During every trip, it becomes an example. This is like a deep ocean of love, and nobody can compete with that. In 1980, I remember that Hazrat Khalifat Masih Salis, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he visited, I was there in Ghana in those days. Hazur rahimahullah ta'ala, he came from Nigeria to Ghana, and in Nigeria there was a very big reception given to him. Masood Elvi Sahib, who was the editor of Al Fazl in those days, he was accompanying. He used to write the reports. So after seeing the reception in Nigeria, when he saw, he mentioned that this is extremely devoted and spontaneous welcome of the people of Nigeria. So when he arrived there, so he mentioned that I considered that the reception given in Nigeria is the peak, is the climax. But when he looked at the reception given to Huzur in Ghana, he was completely baffled. And then he wrote that it was like a big ocean, the waves of the ocean of men and women was there to receive the Khalifa because of the love of Khilafat. And that was visible from their faces, from their eyes, from their ears, everything. And now the Jamaat in Ghana has further expanded because of the new converts. And under the influence of the old Ahmadis, these people are also, mashallah, having the same quality of devotion in them for the love of the Khilafat. As I have mentioned, this time the Jalsa took place in a new place, and this was the first such a big Jalsa, took place at very large scale. The attendance was more than 100,000 people. The registration was 83,000, and after that they couldn't control further. And thousands of people, they came afterwards, and registration of small children couldn't take place. The attendance of the people at the time of Juma have been witnessed by the whole world. A person from Ivory Coast commented that after Hajj I have seen such a big crowd for the first time. When during the khutbah, I looked at these people, then it came to my mind whether they are able to, MTA people are able to show this spectrum and this scene fully to the people of the world or not. But alhamdulillah that the children, workers of MTA who went along with me from here, they showed their expertise in a beautiful way. And they showed the whole scenario beautifully, and they played a very important role. May Allah bless them all. One quality of the Ghanaian, which you have seen, you must have seen during the Jalsas, is that with great patience and steadfastness, they sit in hot weather, in sunshine, and they do not move around. And they completely sat with complete patience. And this is not only one quality, but in the tahajjud prayer, in fajr prayer, the whole area was covered in the same way as you saw during the Jummah. And last day, that was Saturday, and that was a day off. Maybe some more people have joined. When I went in the morning for the prayer, I was surprised to see that those men and women, those who were present, then the number of those people appeared to me even greater than the attendance in Jummah. And the ladies were also in great number. And some of the ladies, they covered about 1 kilometer. The car used to crawl very slowly because the people on both sides, they were standing, men and women, carrying their children. And that was for about 1 kilometer. And the ladies asked the children to say salam. And the love was so as if two real brothers and two real sisters are meeting one another. So these are this is the love of the Ghanaian ladies and men. The ladies were nearly 50,000 there. Those who, because of their love and affection, they also knew how to safeguard the institution of prayer. And they are doing it. And these are the people with whom Allah Almighty gives the promise of an everlasting Khilafat. And until that moment that such mothers are there, then the love of Khilafat, then it will continue to travel in generation after generation. And the ladies were responsible for the langar was completely in the hands of ladies. In other places it is done by men, but in Ghana it was by ladies. Once I went into the in the morning to see this, and when other ladies they came to know, they also came. So these ladies who were working in langar, that was also in large number, and they were raising slogans so strong and so powerful that I went to see in the langar, but I came back very quickly because this excitement and this devotion which they are showing, it will not see that whether in front of them there is a fire burning there and there is a cooking pot there. So maybe that out of their excitement they might not get some harm unknowingly. And that was the devotion of the khudam on duty. One day it was a strong wind and also rain. And when I looked outside the window of my room, then the khudam were there on duty. And without any umbrella, they were very smart standing on their duty, as if they were saying, and who is there who can shake our feet with such a determination? So this is the gist of the devotion of Ghana. And from there, we went, after staying one night in Benin, we went to, one night stay in Nigeria, we went to Benin. And there was a big mosque in the capital. The mosque was now complete. So then they wished that I should be opening this mosque as well. So in this way, fortunately in those very days, the Jalsa Salana of the Jamaat was also there, so they wished that I should be saying something in that one. This is the new Jamaat. Majority of them are new converts. So, therefore, I slightly changed the program, although it was not initially included in the tour, but I included. And at the border, we crossed the border from Nigeria into Benin, and the Minister of the Government was there to receive us. And it was a good reception, and much better than the previous tours. The attitude of the government has been much better. My purpose was to meet the Ahmadis, and at Benin and Nigeria border there was large members of the Jamaat, men and women, they were there. They were very excited, raising slogans. And next day, the last day of the Jalsa was there, so I spoke there as well. Briefly, and 22,000 people were present, and they came from long distances. And slowly and gradually, these new converts, as they are increasing in their understanding and their level of devotion and dedication is also increasing, may Allah increase them more and more in their devotion and attachment to the Jamaat. These visits On one side, it improves the quality of the devotion, and also there are more opportunities of tabligh. There was a reception. There was one MNA attached to the Jamaat. And after meeting me, he expressed his desire to do the bath. So I said, you better consider more about that. But he insisted that he would like to do the bath. One member of the Jamaat in Benim, Raji Ibrahim Sahib, he said that one of his Muslim friend, Al-Haji, said with great surprise that I have seen the Khutbah Jummah of your Imam on national TV, in which he recited Surah Fatiha and commented on the verses of the Holy Quran. I have heard for a long time that the Ahmadis do not offer the prayer. So I am surprised that why such a big lie is being spread. I have seen you offering the prayer. So one benefit of this prayer is that the media gives a lot of coverage. And similarly, one Ahmadi has mentioned that a non-Ahmadi came to see him. And after talking other things, he mentioned that the fact of the matter is that the visit of your Khalifatul Masih is of immense blessing, an extraordinary blessing are there as a result of this visit. And the president of the country, the special advisor to that, the lady Al-Haja Badam Graslavani is the name, she came to see me in the mission house. There was a reception. She came, and then she went to the mission house again, and then she said that I have come to find out, did he go happy after his visit? And secondly, she said that I have never seen such a Jummah in my whole life. I have seen various Imams, they recite various verses of the Holy Quran just like a parrot, and they move on very quickly. But the way he recited, and then he explained the meaning of those, that has actually gone deep down into my heart and soul. I have never heard anybody explaining the meaning of the Holy Quran in this way. She is very close to Ahmadiyyat, by the grace of Allah, and hopefully she will also do the bath in future. From Benin, we came back to Nigeria. When we arrived at the border, Amir Sahib Nigeria said that there is a new place where we have got a new mosque, although it is not included in the program. But this is about 10-12 miles off the main road. If you can uncover the inauguration stone there. Hazur said that I agreed, we can go. It's a small village, a small town. It is the south of in south of Nigeria, there are old Jamaats. In 2004, when I went there, I saw that the devotion and the attachment of the Jamaat was witnessed by me. They are also not lagging behind anyone. Actually, the love and affection is overflowing in their hearts. And when I arrived there, and I was very happy that I accepted the suggestion given by Amir Sahib, that the whole Jamaat was present, because they had this hope that I will be coming. Before entering into the mosque, everybody wanted to shake hands with me, every young and old, and they wanted to see me from close. Because of the shortage of time, it was not possible to shake hands with everyone, but those who could do it, they did it. And in this rush, a member of our entourage, he asked a lady to just keep away because of the rush, and that lady became very angry, and as if she was going to throw this person away. She said that, who are you to stand between me and my Khalifa? And it was good that that person was very intelligent, the member, and he moved away. But otherwise, because the ladies are so strong physically, that she might have thrown him away. And sometime when they are excited, they are full of vigor. So when I asked them to be quiet while they were sitting in the mosque, so then all the hundreds of Ahmadis who were present there, they became absolutely silent. And when I said that it was not in the plan to come over here, and just because of you, I have come. So then they started raising slogans. It was so powerful that I was worried about the roof of the mosque. And when they slightly cooled down, then I took permission from them and came back. On the way, from there we started. We spent 2-3 days. And then we arrived in Abuja. It's a long distance. And in all places where the communities are established on the roads, they were standing in waiting. And the same zeal, the same dedication, the same love, the same devotion was there, which is visible to be seen everywhere in African, that was there. And the ladies were holding their children in such a way they were running along the car. And always they were diverting the attention of the children to me, so that the love of Khilafat should become a part of their life. In Nigeria as well, from the neighboring countries, Niger, Chad and Cameroon, the delegations had come from these neighboring countries. In Nigeria, like Ghana and Benin, the government officials, non-Ahmadis, they came to see me, and everybody became more and more clear about the Jamaat. Their feelings were very clear, and they were full of praise of the Jamaat, which they mentioned in so many words. In Nigeria, they have a big kingdom in Niger state. The Amir, he is a very educated person, highly educated person. And he is a member of the Senate of Nigeria. He insisted that I should be visiting his state. He has been attending UK Jalsa for a couple of years. He asked me to stay in his guest house. And he is opening a school in memory of his mother. There is a big school, but he is now wants to extend it. And he asked me to lay the foundation of that. And there were traditional kings and leaders, members of parliament, and all these people were there in the reception. The king, in front of all these people, he expressed the link with the Jamaat and his love and affection for me. And Allah Almighty expand his heart more and more, and enable him to come in the community of the Promised Messiah. And in every place, by the grace of Allah, we witnessed the rain was descending continuously of the love and affection, through the love and affection, and that was the mercy of Allah Almighty. Through MTA and through reports, you will be getting to know more and more things. All those people, may Allah enable all these people to get united at the hand of the Promised Messiah. In Nigeria, in 1940, there was a group who was in large number and also rich people, and they became unhappy with the Amir and Missionary in charge of that time. Hazrat Muslim Maud asked these people to either obey or to leave the community. And one press reporter asked me how it happened. So I mentioned that what difference did it make? Because the Jamaat has been increasing everywhere. And those people who leave, they are insignificant. So, and moreover, now these very people, they are now realizing that they made a mistake, and through various means they are trying to come closer to the Jamaat. And one of their imam and their leader, they came to see me. And I told them that now everything has become so clear and so evident. You are able to see that in Nigeria and elsewhere in the world. So now you should leave this matter alone and come along. And because of the because all the progress and the blessings of the Jamaat, they are because of Khilafat. So you come and join us. So they listen to me patiently. May Allah open up their hearts for this matter. Here I would like to mention, I want to say to the missionaries over there and to the missionaries all over the world, that you should be try to get more and more high standards of your link and relationship with Allah Almighty. You also remember and tell your wives and children that if you have to get the love of Allah Almighty, then you have to show your good examples. And it is your responsibility now, more than ever before. You have to show more love and affection with the people, particularly in African countries. Your example and your deeds, they should become a model for the local Ahmadis. Those missionaries who went earlier on, in early years, in the beginning, there were some of those companions of the promised Messiah. They sacrificed quite a lot. And because of their nobility and piety, and for the love of the people, and they set up very good examples of that. And they really earned a good name for that. So these are the standards which they set up. And these are the minimum standards which should be upheld by all and must be acquired by all. So far as the devotion and dedication of the Jamaat is concerned, Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says in one place that on some time the devotion of the Jamaat and their love and their zeal for the faith, I'm really surprised to see that. So much so that even the enemies are surprised at that. And when the enemy is surprised, then they increase in jealousy. And they try to invent new ways to cause us any harm or damage. And during this visit of Africa, particularly, and also the increase of the Jamaat, when this news they reach the enemies, they always try to harm the Jamaat in any way possible through MTA. Now that the Jamaat, the whole world is witnessing these scenes through MTA, we should be also, in order to be safeguarded from these people full of jealousy, we should do our, we should be very particular in our submission to Allah Almighty and with relation to the Khilafat Jubilee and the mullahs in Pakistan, they have all already been activated. So there is a great need of prayer. Although Allah Almighty has promised the promised Messiah Allah Almighty has promised the promised Messiah that in spite of these efforts of the jealous people, Allah Almighty is going to increase the Jamaat. But we should also be praying more, more and more to Allah Almighty. May Allah enable us to do so, so that we are safeguarded from these people and show us new destinations and new standards of progress of the community.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.